Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
So close to the return of Premier League football. Let's have a look at the scene with Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. Morning, Dale.
Morning. You're still short of a manager over there.
This is what they're saying to us this morning on a bit of the communication, the social media. Steve says, Laurent Blanc for manager? Is he being hopeful? I don't know. Neil Howard says, why should we have got back to Allardyce? That's because Sam says basically the club never returned his calls. I hope it was Everton saying, don't insult us by suggesting we might be interested. Oh, that's a bit harsh. And Barry says, Silva is a bad option. He's unreliable. He moved to Hull, went to Watford. Now Everton are interested. And now he wants to listen to offers from us. What happens if he does well for us and a big club come in? What are you saying, Barry, that Everton aren't big? He's going to go and we'll be in this position again. Well, that doesn't make much sense. But what's happening with it all there, Dale?
I was going to ask you exactly that question. I haven't got a clue. I can tell you the betting is Silver's 6-5 favourite. Unsworth 11-8, and then it falls off a cliff. Dyche 8s, Big Sam at 12s, Martin O'Neill at 11s, and he's come into it after obviously Ireland going out. But yeah, it looks like it's the two at the front of the market. I think within the club they want to give it to Unsworth, and if the last 15 minutes against Watford hadn't have happened, then obviously Unsworth wouldn't really be in the mix because he would have lost pretty much all his games, wouldn't he? So I think that's the confusion. That last 15 minutes, as I say, the turnaround from 2-0 down has left everybody, maybe we can go with Unsworth. And as I've said to you before, if he gets 10 games where he's in charge, I think he's up to about 6, is he, or 5 so far, then we would deem him as the caretaker becomes the manager. If you're in charge for 10 games, we'd pay out on that. So, I'm completely lost of where it's going to go. But one thing I can tell you, it's not going to be David Moyes, if that helps. Because that was...
I think that one's sorted out, isn't it?
The funniest thing with the Moyes one, just a quickie, it's the first time ever in the history of an appointment where the club's price for relegation's actually gone down off the back of the appointment.
No.
Now, it is. They were gone through all the prices. 5-2, West Ham were for going down. Moyes has been appointed, hadn't played a game, and they're now 2-1. And obviously he did a great job at Everton, you know, over the years. He really, you know, did amazing things at the club. But his last, you know, his job at Sunderland, I think, was it something like 8 wins in... Oh, God knows how many it was. I think it was 43 games at Sunderland. Just never looked like he was getting the club going there. It does seem a strange appointment for West Ham. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, a quickie on Everton chasing Marco Silva. I don't understand why clubs are quite willing to splash out so much for players, but not for a manager. So they offered £10 million for Silva, but I don't know, they paid £45 million for Sigurdsson. They get paid, what, £10 million, more than £10 million a game for when Sky screen a football match. So, why won't clubs pay a little bit more if they want the manager that's suitable for them?
I think you're 100% right. It makes no sense at all, does it? I think Watford, I mean, they had 4 managers in the year they got promoted. You know, they were changing every 3 or 4 weeks, so it sort of proved the point that the manager, the squad was strong. They had strong characters in the team, which kept them going, and they just kept changing the coach. But, yeah, it's spot on. Why wouldn't you pay for the right man to take over? And if they've decided Silva is the right man, they probably did amazing things at Hull, and he's certainly got Watford playing well, although they've lost, I think, the last 3 now. And probably should have won at Everton, should have won at Chelsea, but didn't. We shall see. I'm sure we'll be talking about it next Thursday as well.
I mean, Watford paid Everton, was it £10 million for Tom Cleverley? And they're offering the same amount for the manager to save the football club. Let's move on to the weekend's action. Everton back in action against Crystal Palace in a real shootout there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Palace, the slight favourite, 7-5, Everton 2-1. 9-4. It's not a game you'd be getting involved in, is it? Unless you're a fan. No clean sheet in 10 for Everton. 22 goals conceded. If you want to back Everton at 2-1, good luck to you. But certainly I won't be joining you.
Oh, I tell you what, that's a toughie. And Liverpool have got a fair old fixture as well. Virgil van Dijk is taking all the headlines as Southampton head to Anfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Liverpool 4-9 for that one. Southampton 6-1. 7-2 the draw. But the one thing question I have got to you, why on earth isn't Gomez playing centre-half?
He's done so well at right-back. I don't know. Naturally, he is a centre-half, isn't he? I don't know why he's never been given the chance, given the problems they've had with Clavin and Lovren and everyone else. But I don't know.
Right back, you can solve things at right-back. You know, we had Milner at left-back for the whole of the season, didn't you, last year? Mm. So full-back's a position you can sort of, you can play around. You know, you can have a more attacking player. He was outstanding for England against Brazil the other night. It just seems a matter of time before he's in the centre of defence. And as you say, because of the options or the lack of options at centre-half and the problems they've had there, it seems a no-brainer. But anyway, Southampton obviously have a great record against Liverpool last season. Played them five times and didn't lose to them, did they? You know, with the Carling Cup or Carabao Cup semis and everything like that. So, but Liverpool have only lost 2-32 at Anfield. They don't lose many, but as I say, 4-9. Once again, it'd be somebody else's money going on, and it won't be mine.
Have you enjoyed the international break?
No. Do you know what? I have actually enjoyed watching.
What did you watch? England.
I watched England games. I mean, all the playoffs. It just shows the nerves, doesn't it? There's so many nil-nilers, and you know, when it comes to the players. What I couldn't believe with the Irish going out, there was 9 yellow cards in the game Italy-Sweden. You know, it was an absolutely all or nothing. Pardon me. I don't think there was a card in the Irish game. There certainly wasn't, you know, up till midway through the second half. And then I turned over to watch the England-Brazil. The one thing with England, you know, they're playing real confidence. You suddenly, and you know, 2 nil-nilers against the two favourites for the World Cup, Brazil and Germany are 5-1 joint favourites. You add Kane, Ali and Sterling to that team, you've got a very competitive team. So I think England fans will go, fans anywhere, they love seeing younger players given a chance. In any club side, you know, you almost don't mind if you're not winning every week or whatever. If you see the youngsters who come through, given the opportunity, you'll give them that bit of time and you'll have the patience with them. And with England, I mean, England 20-1. So it's a big price. It says exactly what, you know, the expectation on the World Cup, but at least they'll go with some enthusiasm. They'll play in a certain way. And Southgate, play to it. You know, he's throwing some kids in and they've been outstanding. So, I think lots to look forward to on the England front.
And talking of youngsters, just very quickly on the golf scene, we could have... We'll claim as a Merseysider. Tommy Fleetwood, he's going in a shootout with Justin Rose for the Order of Merit, or the Race to Dubai, as it's now known. So the two of them are two nice guys in golf who are going to be firing it out against each other over the next few days. Tommy's only 27. Rose is 37 years old now. But it's nice to see Tommy Fleetwood. What a season he's had.
Yeah, he's been outstanding, hasn't he? Rose has suddenly come back into it with... he's won his last two tournaments, hasn't he? You know, so he's suddenly come right back in. And Fleetwood, I've not really forgiven him for not turning up at the Open in the summer.
when vanished.
Vanished is probably the word. It's great fun, isn't it? You know, you see the golf and it comes to the highlight at the end of the year. But you're right, it's been a great year for Fleetwood. And he's shown from... You know, a mid-ranking player, he's become one of the best in the world. And he's one a youngster to follow for over the coming years.
Top man, Dale, thank you very much.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.